Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 is one great verse in the Bible because it answers the question about why so many people end up arguing the way they do and falling out with each other the way they do. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." Now, those two go together, even though they don't sound like they may. Listen to it again. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Now, a lot of times when you read the Proverbs, you'll read one proverb, and it'll have the colon or the semicolon in the middle, and it appears that the first part has very little to do with the second part. You know, oftentimes you'll read a proverb, and it'll give you the corollary, or the whatever that other word is, but you know, the thing that magnifies or helps you to understand the first part of the Proverbs, and then it's expanded in the second part. A lot of times then you'll see the converse. For instance, earlier in Proverbs 13, we find this proverb that says, "There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing." Now look at the converse. "There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches." See how one is the contrast of the other one. Well, sometimes there doesn't appear to be much relationship between the first part of the proverb and the second part of the proverb. And you might think by reading this one that there's not much relationship between the first part, which says, "Only by pride cometh contention," and the second part, which says, "But with the well-advised is wisdom." You know, you ask yourself, well, what do you mean well-advised is wisdom, and what does that have to do with pride and contention? Well, you know, actually, it has a lot to do with it. If you've spent any time around people at all, and we have because we have families and we have business associates and we have classmates and we have brothers and sisters and, you know, cousins and all, you know, acquaintances, all that kind of stuff. And so you find that with all of those relationships, there's often contention, and contention is often related to the fact that one party or the other, or maybe both, is not or are not well advised. Okay? Thus, the contention comes, and they're not well advised because of pride. Now, you say, well, can you make application here? Yes, I will, and I want you to think about this very carefully because, first of all, consider this. Is there anybody that you deal with on a regular basis with whom you have contention, ongoing contention? A daughter, a son, a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a cousin, a business associate, an acquaintance. Is there somebody that you know with whom you have an ongoing contention? All right. If there is, there is likely pride involved, because the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So pride's going to be involved. Now, the pride may be causing them or you to not be well advised. And in that lack of wisdom, there is more contention. All right, so if a man is proud or a woman is proud, they are not going to be well advised and operating in wisdom, and therefore they are going to have contention. You say, okay, well, you've introduced that sufficiently. I hear that, but make some application so I can begin to get this. Okay, let's do it this way. I'm going to give you seven things today that have to do with being well advised, and if those seven things, any of them, is going on in a relationship with somebody with whom you are having contention, you're going to understand why the contention exists, and perhaps you're going to understand how to get past it. Because I don't know about you, some people may love to live in contentious relationships. I don't. I like everything to be settled and smooth sailing. My father was like that, and I like to be like that, if it's possible. So let's look at these seven things and see if any of them apply to the situation. If they do, then use your understanding of these seven things, or whichever ones apply, and go at this contentious relationship, recognizing that pride is at the root of the problem, and see then if you can get to the bottom of it and help the thing, you know, get straightened out. All right, here's the deal. The first one, and these are not in any special order because one's not more important than the other. The most important one to you is the one that applies to you, or the most important one to the person with whom you're having the problem is the one that applies to that person. All right, first thing, big-headedness, big-headedness. You say, what are you talking about? That's a know-it-all. That's a know-it-all. A smarty pants, a smart aleck. When you're dealing with a know-it-all, somebody who is big-headed, somebody who suffers with big-headedness, you can understand pride is related to that because the guy thinks he knows it all. See, there's the pride. Now, when somebody has a big head, when somebody is a know-it-all, and you are trying to help them become better advised about the situation, they're not going to listen to you because they already have determined in their minds that they understand enough about the situation without having to listen to your pea brain contributions. And consequently, they're going to contend with you because they have already determined in their minds that they know all they need to know upon which to make the decision that they've made. And that's why they're sticking to their guns. I've watched that. I've watched that over and over and over again. Here's two people, and one says, I'm right because I believe whatever, ABC. The other guy says, I'm right because I believe DEF, and you can't get the two to listen to each other because each of them thinks they know all they need to know to make the decision they've made, and they're fighting for it. You'll find that in religious discussions. That's one of the worst. Here's two guys. Let's just say, here's this saved guy. He has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He knows how to be saved from the Bible. He knows it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He knows that assurance of salvation follows that because 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that you may know that you have salvation or eternal life, that you may know, see. So he's got assurance of salvation, and he knows how to be saved. He's trusted Jesus Christ as his Savior. He has experience in these matters. He has the Scripture to back it up. He understands it completely, and he runs into somebody that is religious and not saved, who's trusting good works and baptism. And they have been trained in about four or five verses to believe that they're saved, and they can't handle any other verses. They're very dogmatic about what they believe. You know what? They're never going to get past a contentious, volatile, terrible relationship because the person who's not saved knows it all, knows all he needs to know. And pride is associated with his stand. He will not humble himself to come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and he's not well advised. He's not operating in wisdom, but he's going to contend with this saint of God. The martyrs that died preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the religious crowd that saw to their death acted in pride, contended with them against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were not well advised about how to be saved. And therein was the contention. The martyrs were dealing with know-it-alls. Jesus Christ was dealing with know-it-alls. All right? Big-headedness is the first problem, the first element of pride in this list of seven that will cause contention because the fella that has the big head will not be well advised. Here's the second one. Close-mindedness. In close-mindedness, the guy doesn't think that he knows it all necessarily. He is just going to close his mind to anyone else's opinion. He's just not going to listen. Period. You say all you want to say. You can make all the sense in the world. You could convince every jury that's ever selected that you're right, but you will not be able to turn this person that you're dealing with from their position because in pride they have closed their mind against you. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. And one element of pride is close-mindedness. The person that you're dealing with will not be well advised, will not operate in wisdom, will hold to his guns, and therein will lie the contention. If you deal with him, he's not going to consider your opinion. Now, I think of many situations, but I'm thinking of a situation right now of a guy that was doing something wrong. He's a Christian. He was doing something wrong, and he knew what he was doing was wrong. He knew it. He knew the scriptures on it, but he was determined that even though he was wrong, he was going to go on and do what he was doing. It was just fine. I mean, I know what I'm doing is wrong. You don't need to tell me what I'm doing is wrong, but I'm determined that I'm going to keep doing it. And that was the stand that he took. How are you going to deal with a guy like that? You can't. He's closed-minded. He won't change his opinion. And like I said, you could convince everybody else in the room, everybody else in the world, that you're right and this guy is wrong. He ain't going to change. What is it? By pride, he has justified his reasons for doing what he's doing. He will contend with you viciously to leave him alone. And he will not be well advised about the thing that he's involved in because he's not operating in wisdom. He's operating in closed-mindedness. Now, let me tell you something. I'm saying you and the other guy as if it's always the other person's fault. You may be having a contentious situation with somebody right now, and you may be the closed-minded person. I've watched that thing happen over and over and over again, you know, in all kinds of situations. I've seen it in business, where one business partner in a business absolutely has a lock-solid reason why the thing that he is proposing needs to be done by the business, and it is actually beneficial for every person involved, and yet somebody in the room is closed-minded and also very vocal and very proud and contends viciously not to change things to accommodate this person because they will not listen. They will not be well advised and listen to what the other person has to say. You know what you're going to end up with? Contention. And nothing's going to change that until the closed-minded person decides to stop long enough to listen to what you're saying. Or, if you're closed-minded, the contention will not stop until you stop long enough to listen to what the other person is saying. Oftentimes, in religious discussions with folks, when I know the other guy is wrong according to the Bible, I'll listen to him anyway. Because I want him to know that he can be heard. And I'm actually listening to what he's saying. That's the only way I can respond to what he's saying, to give him any light if he chooses he wants to be well advised and not contend. All right, here's the third thing. The first thing, for a reminder, is big-headedness. The second thing is closed-mindedness. And the third thing is confusion. Confusion, misunderstanding. The Bible says, only by pride cometh contention, but with the well advised is wisdom. Well, a man's not going to be well advised if he doesn't understand what you're saying. He's going to be confused. That's misunderstanding. In other words, let's say you're the person that's causing the contention. You thought you knew what the other person was thinking or what the other person was saying and reacted to that, not to what they were actually saying, but to what you thought they were saying. I was having a discussion with a friend of mine yesterday, and we were talking about answering Bible questions. We used to do that on the air. We've done that. As a matter of fact, I'm doing that over at the Jubilee Home right now where people have questions about the Bible, and we simply answer them from the Bible so they can get it. You know what I've learned is one of absolutely the most important things to be successful in giving an answer? You've got to understand the question that is being asked. And I've seen this over and over because I deal with a lot of folks, you know, in the ministry and conversation, even in business and other ways like that. And it's amazing how somebody will ask a question sometime, and another person begins to answer the question they thought they heard the person asking, when in fact, maybe the person didn't ask the question very clearly, but the person that's responding is certainly not asking the question that was being asked. The person had a question about something other than that. And you know what that'll cause when you have that kind of confusion and misunderstanding? That will cause somebody to bow up in pride and start to contend. You don't listen to me. You don't understand what I'm saying. Every time I talk to you, you always twist things. You ever heard that? Therein lies the problem of the contention. The person that is caught, that's helping to stir up the trouble, is not well advised because they're not understanding what the person is saying. Confusion. And the reason that they're confused is that their own pride, they thought they thought that what they were hearing, they thought what they were getting ready to answer, would take care of the problem, rather than asking another question if they were concerned or confused about what the person really meant. Are you saying this or are you saying that? You know, for those of you who've ever done any counseling, you know that they've often said that one of the main things to do whenever you're trying to open up communications with somebody with whom you've had trouble is to repeat what they've said in your words to make sure that you understand what they were saying. In other words, they can hear the way you read it and be able to respond to that, saying, well, no, that's not what I was saying at all. What I was saying was this. The way to open that line of communication is say, well, now, this is what I heard you saying. Is that what you're trying to say? And when you ask that, that's when the person responds, you see, and says, no, that wasn't what I was saying at all. What I was saying was this. Now you've got a clear understanding. And, you know, I'll tell you, that'll take a lot of the heat of contention out of the problem. But a proud man, he wants to be known as somebody who can read all these things real well, so he doesn't have to ask questions and act stupid, you know, like some of us do to find out what the problem is. He just jumps right in there like he's, you know, got it, and that's pride. He's not well advised. There's no wisdom in that. And next thing you know, you've got contention. So, what are the problems? Big-headedness, closed-mindedness, confusion. What's another one? What's another proud thing that a man can do to cause contention in a relationship because he's not well advised? I'll tell you what it is. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is obviously one of the greatest components of pride. Because it says, I'm right and you're wrong. There's a lot of pride in that. Now, a person who's self-righteous is not well advised because you and I have no righteousness of our own that's worth anything. It isn't worth 10 cents. You know, whenever you've had a big argument with somebody and you've lost the friendship and lost the relationship, you know what happens if you've got time to go to your corner and sort of lick your wounds and think through how the thing got all fouled up the way that it did and what could have been done differently? After all the heat of how you got hurt in the deal is gone, you know what you're going to say? You're going to say, I wish I had my friendship back, and who cares who was right and who was wrong? They also say like that in marriages, you don't always have to be right. They say that a lot of times in partnerships. You don't always have to be right, and that's true. You simply need to be heard. But when somebody has to be right, and they're going to plant their feet firmly on their self-righteousness, I'm right, you're wrong, then that thing is going to lead to contention because the root of that self-righteousness is pride. They will not be well advised because who wants to listen to somebody that's wrong? Who wants to follow somebody that's wrong? In marriages, you see this most often. People argue about the most nonsensical things just to prove that they're right. You're going to have contention. A lot of it. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do about that? Listen, when you're trying to get to the bottom of a problem, as you're digging through the trouble, you don't have to be right at that point. You got to get down to the truth. The truth is what's right. And it may be that the person with whom you're having contention is right. It may be that the truth is on their side. And if that's the case, then you got to let go of your pride and let go of your self-righteousness and be well advised by the truth, so that you can then get past the contention. I'll give you, here's a perfect example. Let's say, long-standing battles have existed between people that are in the Church of Christ and people that are in the Baptist Church. That's well-known in certain parts of the country, if it's not well-known down here. Now, in the Church of Christ, there are several things that the Church believes. The Church believes that you have to be baptized in water to be saved. That it's essential. And they'll go to Mark 16:16, and they'll go to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, and other choice verses like that, and show you that in order to be saved, you have to be baptized in water. It's essential. Secondly, they believe you can lose your salvation. And third, they believe that good works is an element also, that it's proof that you were saved. All right, in the Baptist Church, they don't believe any of that. They don't believe that water salvation is, or I say they, we don't believe that water salvation is essential for salvation, that it follows salvation. We don't believe that good works is necessarily a proof or an evidence of salvation, particularly in the situation where you've got a person who's not evidencing good works at the time, and we also believe in eternal security, that once you're saved, you're really saved. Now, you try to get those two people together in a conversation where they're going to talk reasonably about the positions in which they hold, and within 10 minutes If they're really strong in their convictions, it'll be a bloody battle, just the way it is. Now, what would ever sort out the problem here? Well, what would actually sort out the problem is for Jesus Christ to show up, get between both of those guys that are having a heated discussion about their religious beliefs, and say, gentlemen, the truth is this. Now, if, and I'm not saying that he would, but if the Lord Jesus Christ said water baptism is essential for salvation, you can lose your salvation, and you do have to have good works as proof of your salvation, then the Baptist would be wrong. But do you think that he would relinquish his position? Probably not. He would probably say that that appearance was not Jesus Christ. It was a figment of the Church of Christ imagination. Let's say, on the other hand, that Jesus Christ came in and he said, nope, the Baptist is right. Water baptism follows salvation. It's not essential to salvation. You are eternally secure, and good works is a consequence of salvation, but it's not necessarily evidence that a man is saved. Because you could have a man doing good works who's not saved. You could have a saved man not doing good works. Let's say he said that. What would the Church of Christ do? He'd say to the Lord, that's your own interpretation. Or something like that, if he wanted to be contentious. You know what that is as far as that Baptist and that Church of Christ guy are concerned? Pride. If a man wanted to be well advised and Jesus Christ came in and gave him the truth to sort that thing out, he would have to abandon his self-righteousness and accept the truth. And in order to do that, he'd have to humble himself. And you know what it would do? It would put the contention to rest. Let's say that both that Baptist and that Church of Christ were interested in the truth. And Jesus Christ spoke the truth. And they both saw what the truth was and said, okay, we're going to go with what Jesus said. Their contention would be over. They'd be on the same page. That's how it works. Self-righteousness is an element of pride that will keep a person from being well enough advised to stop the contention. What's the next one? Not only is it big-headedness, closed-mindedness, confusion, and self-righteousness, but the next one is unbelief, which is also a huge element of pride. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Unbelief. Here's a guy that's going to contend with God because he doesn't believe what God said. Go back to the example of Jesus Christ showing up between those two denominations and sorting the thing out. The one guy says, I still don't believe it. I still don't believe it. I hear what you're saying, but I don't believe what you're saying. Therefore, I'm not going to go along with it. Contention. Here you get a guy that's saved. He's talking to an agnostic. That's a guy that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And he says, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus Christ. And he tells him all about what Jesus Christ did, dying on the cross for his sins, that he's a sinner that needs Jesus Christ. He's going to stand before God and be judged for his sins, that Jesus Christ has already paid the penalty for his sins by dying and by going to hell, by resurrecting the third day, and that by trusting Jesus Christ as his Savior, he can be saved, and he'll rise from the dead when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And the guy says, you know what? I completely understand everything you're saying, and I don't believe it. You know what's going to result from that? Contention. Now, a well-advised man will say, you know what? I've just heard the truth. And whether I believed that or not beforehand, I'm going to believe it now because I've been well advised about the gospel. You know what that takes? Humility. And you know what happens? The contention between him and God is over. Unbelief. Here's a young man. Here's a little boy that comes to his mom and he says to his mom where he was that day, and his mother doesn't believe him. His mother says, no, Mrs. So-and-so called me and told me that she saw you riding your bicycle in that neighborhood. I told you not to be there. Now, it turns out in this particular illustration that Mrs. So-and-so, who called the mother, was mistaken. She saw another dark-headed boy riding a bicycle about the same size as her son. So the son comes in and says, Mom, no, you told me not to go to that neighborhood, and I did not go to that neighborhood. He said, son, I don't care. Mrs. So-and-so said, you know what's going to happen between Mom and that boy? Contention. Why? Because in this case, Mom's not well advised about the truth of the location where her son was, and since she's not, the pride is going to cause a contention between them. That boy's going to go away that day mad that his mother doesn't trust what he said when he knows that he told her the truth. What was the problem? Unbelief. Big-headedness? I know it all. Closed-mindedness? I don't want to consider what you have to say. Confusion? I thought you were saying this. I didn't understand. Self-righteousness, I'm right, you're wrong. Unbelief, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not going to buy it. And then selfishness. I know what you're saying, but I'm not going to give in. Selfishness, I'm going to hold to my own position regardless of what you say. Another huge element of pride. Now, the man that's well advised would say it's not good to be selfish in a situation like that. You better go along with what you've just heard in wisdom. And the guy says in pride, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to act childish. I'm going to get my way regardless. And therein's going to lie contention. You see that a lot of times in business. I had a good friend of mine, and he was a great business partner. He had many business partnerships, and every one of them was successful. And every one of them not only was successful, but he and his partners remained friends. And I asked him point blank one day when he was 86 years old, how is it in every partnership that you were involved, you always got along with your partners and y'all were always successful? He said, it's easy. I always did what they wanted to do. Man, that is so rich. He wasn't selfish. Now you get into a partnership where one guy says, I will not budge. I will not budge unless you give me my way. You're going to have contention. That's just plain and simple. And the person who wants his way is not going to listen to anything that will give him good advice about what he's trying to do because he just wants his way. You're going to have contention. And at the root of that thing is pride. One more thing. You see how helpful this? Man, you didn't know there was so much in that verse of Scripture. It's loaded. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Here's the last thing. Volatility, or call it explosiveness. Quick to the trigger, we used to call it. Overreaction. In other words, the guy starts telling you, he's trying to advise you, the guy starts telling you, and you jump in before he finishes the whole story and immediately react to the first thing that he's saying. Pride gets in the way. Contention follows. Why? You didn't listen to the whole story. Why? You're explosive, volatile, too quick, on the trigger, overreacting. If you'd have stopped and listened to the whole story before you had any response at all, then you would have heard the deal. But since you've already jumped in and staked your claim and started the fight before you heard the whole thing, bang, heads are going to butt, pride's going to take over, and you got a problem. So these seven things are elements of pride that cause a person from being, keep a person from being well enough advised to stop the contention in a relationship. One more time, big-headedness, you're a know-it-all. Closed-mindedness, you're not going to consider anybody else's opinion. Confusion, you misunderstand what they're saying. Self-righteousness, I'm right, you're wrong. Unbelief, I hear you, but I don't believe what you're saying. Selfishness, I know you're right, but I'm not going to give in. And volatility or explosiveness, you jump in too quick and react before you ever hear the whole story. Now, you want to get over your contentious relationships? Fix one or all of those.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.